I love to see those kids leaving. That means, you know, that's our future church. And you see those kids now. I would encourage everyone to bring your kids to Sunday school. Bring your kids to Sunday school. I have such great memories of things that teachers like Shirley Beckwith and others, Freddie Van Allman, and they just gave of themselves to pour the Word of God into us as kids. And what a difference that made in my life to have somebody willing to do that. I guess I better get my message out here. I don't have a clicker because I'm not going to use one. I'm in school. I'm old school. I was privileged to give a presentation to all the Kunstler sales force on Wednesday down in Baltimore. And I handed out an outline. Those guys looked like, what are you doing? But that's the way I learned to teach, and it's just old school. I guess I haven't, you know, not that I don't know how to use a computer. I'm old school. Let's open in a word of prayer this morning. Our gracious God and Father, we're so thankful for your word. We're thankful, Father, for this opportunity to open it, and Father, to learn from it, to study, and Father, to help us to be stronger in you, to be a better witness for you. Father, I need your help this morning. I am not worthy to be here. I have no strength in myself. Father, I need you. I need your Spirit to fill me. And I ask that you would fill me and each one that's here, that we might truly grow in our inner man, in our spirit, Father, in our zeal for you. And I thank you for what you're going to do through your word. And I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Years and years and years ago, I used to be a school teacher. And about this time of year, when school was winding down to the end, we had a community pool that was just below the junior high where I taught. And the community pool, the borough so graciously allowed us the last couple of weeks of school, since the kids were really wound up and they were ready to get out, they would allow us to take our physical education classes down to that pool and swim. And the kids had a great time. They loved that, and they really looked forward to it. But anyway, one day I was walking down with a group of my students to the pool, and I had this real tall young man. He was taller than I was. His name was Lynn. And he said, "Coach," he says, "I'm the best swimmer that you'll ever see." He said, "I can swim like you will not believe." And I said, "Well, Lynn," I said, "the rule is that when you get down to the pool, I have all the people that want to use the deep end of the pool where the diving boards were. I said, you have to swim a length of the pool to prove that you can swim. If you can do that, then you can, you know, you'll have a great time down on the diving boards." Well, we got down to the pool, and the kids were lined up that wanted to swim their length of the pool to show that they could swim. And I was watching down to the end of the pool down here, and all of a sudden, up here where the diving boards are, I hear a splash. I look around, and there's Lynn, and he's going down. he's going down. And so I jumped in the water, pulled him out, and I got him to the side of the pool, and I said, "Lynn, you told me you could swim." He said, "Coach, not in that deep water, I can't." But you know, I tell that story because, you know, sometimes we, in our confidence, in our own ability, in our flesh, think that we can live a spiritual life pleasing to God in our own flesh, on our own ability. And the truth is that we are nothing of ourselves. We need the Spirit of God that dwells within us. If you've trusted in Christ this morning as your personal Savior, you have the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ living and dwelling in you. And we need, as believers, to strengthen that Spirit. Where I got the title of our sermon this morning is going to be All Out War. All Out War, because every day, each and every one of us lives in a spiritual battle with Satan. And the only way that we can walk in the Spirit is to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ and rely on Him to give us strength in our time of this battle. And we've been teaching through Ephesians in our Sunday school class, and last week we hit this passage, and sometimes I get on a passage and I just can't leave it. I just have to stay there and search and search and search and search. And that's what happened, and that's where this message is coming from this morning. This is what inspired it, okay? This isn't the message, but this is what inspired it. It says in Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3. If you have your Bible, you could turn there this morning. We're going to look at beginning at verse 14. Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 14. It says there, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is Paul talking here, and he is praying. He is praying for the people that he had just taught all the spiritual blessings that they have in Christ. They are adopted into his family. They are rich in his blessings. They have power through the Lord Jesus Christ. He had taught through this, and now he is what? He's bowing his knees. He's getting down on the floor, and he's praying to God for these people. And he says, "From whom the whole family in heaven, all the believers, and earth is named, that he would grant according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, what was Paul praying for here? He was praying that these people would be strengthened in their inner man. Why? Because if you try to fight Satan, a spiritual battle with your flesh, you are going to lose. I am going to lose. He knew that. So he's praying to God that these Ephesians who have just trusted in Christ as their Savior and were growing in the things of the Lord, that they would be strengthened in their inner man. That they wouldn't try to be obedient to God in their flesh and their outer man, but they would be filled with the Spirit, and that they would be strengthened inside in their inner man. What is the inner man? It's the thing that makes you you. It's the Spirit that dwells inside of you. You know, when we read in the Bible about to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. Well, when you're absent from the body, what's leaving your body? It's your Spirit. And inside, in your inner man, that's where Christ dwells. He lives in you. And you're not your own, the Bible says. You are the Lord Jesus Christ. You belong to Him. What's the Bible say? It says, "Know you not that your body, your flesh, is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He dwells in you." Okay? So that's what inspired this message. But Paul struggled with this. Paul struggled with this thing about flesh and blood and the inner man. Let's turn, if you would, this morning over to Romans chapter 7. We're still not at the message, but I want to read this because it applies. You see where Paul was coming from here, because he had the same struggle. Starting at verse 13, it says, "Has then what is good become death to me?" That's talking about the law, okay? The Ten Commandments, the law of God. "Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might be become exceedingly sinful. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me," and get this, "in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me." He says there, "Then I find a law that is evil, that evil is present with me. For the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." There we are, the inward man. That's what delights in God. "But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Paul here is wrestling between the law. If I could keep the law, and Paul, remember, Paul was a devout Jew. He knew the law inside out, upside down. If he could keep the law, wouldn't God bless him? If he could in his flesh keep the law, wouldn't God? If he could only obey the commandments, but he sees here, I will to, don't you? Don't you every day? You don't get up and say, "Well, I wanna sin today. I wanna be evil today. I wanna be wicked today." No. We get up as believers and we say, "We wanna serve the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. I want to live for Him. I want to be a witness for Him. I want to show people what the love of Christ is like." But if we strive to do that in our flesh, we're going to fail, you see. We need the strength to be strengthened in the inner man. Strengthened in the inner man. So Paul wrestled with this, how you know, the law is great. The law is great. The law tells me how I ought to live. It's great. But I can't do it in my flesh. I need Christ in me to strengthen me in the inner man. Pastor used the example one day that, you know, whatever dog you feed, that's the one that's going to grow stronger. Okay? If you feed that flesh in the outer man, that's gonna win the battle. Because what? The spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit, and they're contrary one to another. So if you feed one more than the other, which one's gonna win? So we as believers need to feed the inner man. We need to strengthen the spirit, the inner man, that where Christ dwells in us. Now, I'm gonna get to where we're going to be here today. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We've talked about this before. And by the way, I'll tell you why Pastor goes over every week is because he can't see the clock. You can't see the clock unless you stand unless you stand right here. I cannot see the clock. So, okay. All right, Ephesians chapter 6. It's talking about one of my favorite sports here. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I might speak boldly as I ought. Folks, we're in an all-out war. We're in a war, and it's not a war that goes away. It's a daily war. It's a spiritual war. Paul calls it here a wrestling match. A wrestling match. A wrestle. And Paul, the people in Rome and in the Roman Empire would know about this, but we probably wouldn't know this today, but in a wrestling match back then, you wrestled until one man could not stand any longer. You wrestled until your opponent could no longer get up. He was done. And then to beat it all, the judge, as you come off of the arena or come out of the arena, there was a judge that stood at the side, and when you come out, if you lost, he took an awl, which was a spike, and he spiked your eye out. Now let me ask you this. How hard would you wrestle if you knew that was going to happen to you when you come out of the arena? And by that, not only how hard would you wrestle, but if you were a wrestler and you knew you were going to face that type of situation, how hard would you prepare? How hard would you get ready for that match? How hard would you work to get ready to face the enemy? Well, how do we win? How do we get ready? What can we do? Well, number one, you better know your enemy. You better know your enemy. Look at verse 11 there. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's wily. He's tricky. He's subtle. He's sneaky. He doesn't come at you like you would expect. He doesn't announce his arrival. He sneaks up on you. He wants to trick you. He wants to be wily and trick you into obeying his desire, fleshly desire, and not the desires of the Spirit that God would have for you. Number two, in verse 12, he says, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. He is not flesh. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. He's a principality. He's a spirit. He's a prince. What is a principality? It's someone that's under a prince. He's the prince of the power of the air, isn't he? The Bible says he's the prince of the power of the air. He is powerful here, it says, against powers. He is a ruler of darkness of this age. He's large. He's large. Notice, against the spiritual hosts. A host is huge. It's big. It's large. And he's wicked. It says spiritual hosts of wickedness. And where? In heavenly places. Do you know, believers, if you right here, right now, Satan is standing with Christ, and he's saying, look at that believer down there. Look what he's doing. Look what she's doing. Look what he's thinking. Look what his motives are. Look what his thoughts are. Look what he's doing. And Christ is saying, I shed my blood for that. He's under the blood. We sang about the blood. Christ died so that we might have forgiveness of sins. He's the father of lies, Satan is. He's the father of lies. When we used to wrestle or play football or whatever, you went out and you scouted out the opponent. You saw what he's like. Well, here, you need to scout out what Satan's like, who he is, how he works. That'll prepare you for the battle that you're going to be in. I know when you have to be prepared, you have to be ready. Anybody here, who here has ever wrestled? Who here has ever wrestled? Okay, some of you, okay. What happens if I'm a wrestler and I say, okay, I'm going to wrestle, but I don't practice. And I'm going to wrestle, but I don't work out. I don't try to get into any kind of condition. And the day comes of the wrestling match, and I walk out there, I shake my opponent's hand. What's going to happen to me? I'm going to get defeated. I'm going to get defeated. I'm going to lose. And you know what? I had in wrestling, I coached wrestling for 18 years, and I had wrestler. I had a wrestler that he knew so much wrestling. He knew more wrestling than I ever dreamed of knowing. He knew the moves. He could execute the moves. But you know what? He never prepared. When we would run, he would just run half-heartedly. When we would wrestle in practice, he would just go through the motions, you know. And when he went out on the mat, when he faced an opponent that was easy, he could beat him. He'd pin him in the first period, you know, he would beat him. But if he wrestled somebody and somebody had scouted him out and knew that he wasn't in shape, and when he wrestled, if you could make it through the first period, buddy, you had this guy. If you could make it through. Why? Because what he knew didn't count then. He was too tired to execute what he knew. And so it is with believers, with me included. If we're not prepared to face this spiritual enemy, we're going to fail. We need to practice. We need to be, and we're going to look at that, be in the Word and to pray and to practice and to be ready for this spiritual battle each day of our lives. I had other guys that didn't know much. They didn't know a whole lot. Adria, your Uncle Sean was one of those guys. I had Adria's uncle as a student and a wrestler and football player. But he came out for wrestling. He knew nothing. I just knew he was a good athlete. I said, Sean, you ought to come out for wrestling. He came out, and he was a good athlete. I mean, he was strong. He was quick. He had the speed, but he had very little knowledge. He didn't know a lot. But, buddy, was he in shape. He worked in practice. He wrestled with all his heart in practice. And when he went out on the mat, he would just wear you down. He'd just wear you down, and sooner or later, he'd pin you. That's all there was to it. His class, Sean's class, was undefeated. In fact, when they got to be seniors in high school, they were state champions, AAA state champions, his team. And because they worked, they were, it wasn't what they knew, It was what they were prepared to do. Okay? And we need to prepare. Well, how do we prepare? Well, let's look. I'm going to turn quickly back to Romans. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. If you could turn there. Okay. Romans chapter 13. Starting at verse 11. It tells about how we can prepare here. It says, and do this, or knowing the time, that it now is the high time to awake out of sleep, and for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. You know, when you've trusted in Christ, you were saved, but now today your salvation, your day of meeting the Lord in the air, or meeting him and to be absent from the body and present with the Lord, is closer now than it was the day you received Christ as your Savior. And it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off all the works of darkness, and let us, what? Put on the armor of light. It's like, it's picture, you're casting this off, the flesh, the works of darkness, and you're putting on the armor of light. Light is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, and not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when it says there, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. You put them on, and it's a continual thing. It's not, well, I put them on today, and I'm good to go the rest of my life. It's you put him on day after day, minute after minute, hour after hour. Are you continual? You continue each and every moment of your life to put on Christ. And when you put him on, he's the only one that Satan never defeated. You put on Christ. Don't you want the undefeated one to be the one that you put on? That you trust in him, in his power, to prepare and to deliver you from these sins, these wiles, these things that Satan would have you to do. It says, we need every piece of the armor that's mentioned here in Ephesians. If you turn back there to Ephesians chapter 6, God gives us everything we need. He gives us everything we need to stand, to be the one standing at the end of the battle, to be the victor over this huge enemy, Satan. He talks about in verse 14, the belt of truth. The belt of truth in verse 14. It says there, if I can find it, Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. A soldier's belt, as he wore it back, is he's comparing a Roman soldier here and some of the armor that he has to what armor we have in the Lord. The belt of truth, the belt that the soldier wore, held his breastplate in place, which was very important, and it also held his sword. Okay, those things were very important to the soldier. And so he needed to that belt. It was a foundation of his armor. And because Satan is the father of lies, Satan cannot stand against the truth. Now, what's truth? The Bible says that Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. In the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I'm the truth. The Bible says, show us truth, thy word is truth. Jesus came, he was full of grace and truth. He is the truth. So we are to what? When it says about putting on this belt of truth, we're putting on, just as we read there in Romans, we're putting on Christ. We're putting on his word. His word is truth. And when we put on Christ, we put on truth. Victory in spiritual warfare starts with the truth. How did you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You heard the truth. Christ pierced your heart to believe that He died for you on the cross, that He shed His blood, that He died, was buried, and that He rose again so that you could have everlasting life. He was the truth. He was the way, the truth, and the life. We can't come to Christ, we can't come to God the Father but through this truth. So we put on the belt of truth. Secondly, in verse 14 again, it says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness guarded the soldier. When he put on his breastplate, it guarded his heart. Pretty important that you protect your heart, isn't it? When you put on Christ and rely on Him to fill you, to keep you, He will guard your heart. He will guard your heart. He will protect you from the darts of Satan that he hurls at you each day. He'll guard your heart. So righteousness protects the spiritual life of believers. I'm going to flip over here to Philippians for a minute in chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 9. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. I can't obey the law. None of us can. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. How do I attain that? Only through Christ. Only through Christ and His righteousness. So, we have the belt of truth, we have the breastplate of righteousness, and as we continue there in Ephesians chapter 6, it says in verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. Wow. Having shod your feet. Your feet is protected by the gospel of peace. Soldiers had heavy armored sandals that they wore back in the days of the Roman Empire, and it gave them good traction, and it gave them security in the heat of the battle. They could do what they needed to do. And so our peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ gives us security in the face of Satan's accusations. It gives us security in this face. Your feet are so important. I used to have a teammate in college, and he always ranted about your feet. Remember back in the day where you had the pop cans that would pop open and it had a real sharp top to it? They always had pop in our locker when we'd go back, and they'd open them up and they'd just throw them on the floor or something. Boy, he would come out and he'd say, your feet are so important. You need your feet to be able to perform. Why are you throwing these things around? Somebody hurts their feet, they're not going to be able to do. And this is what this is talking about. Your feet shod by the gospel. The gospel is so important to remember, to stand on the truth. Back in, again, I'm gonna read from Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse, starting at verse 6 there. Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's important, isn't it, to guard your hearts and mind. And it'll do that when you put on, protect your feet with the gospel of peace. In verse 16, back to Ephesians again, in verse 16, it says, above all, take the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith. Shield of faith had a leather covering to it. And what they would do, they would soak that in water. And when the enemy, you watch the old movies, and they'd shoot those arrows that had flaming heads to them, and when those arrows would hit that shield, it would put them out. Okay, so he's saying here, take the shield of faith. That's a defense mechanism, the soldier's shield. Faith in God's promises will deflect and extinguish the lies that Satan will give you. Satan wants to lie to you. He wants to tell you something different. What did he do to Eve in the garden? He lied to her. And he does the same thing today. Over in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We need our faith strengthened every day. We need to have faith. We need it strengthened. And how do we strengthen our faith? We strengthen it through the Word of God. We strengthen it through bowing in prayer and asking God to help us and to strengthen us. Finally, it talks about the helmet of salvation, the primary primary defense for your head is the helmet of salvation. Satan wants to get into your head. The Bible says that in Romans 12, it says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Why? How? By the renewing of your mind. The Bible says in Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. You want to have the mind of Christ, the helmet of salvation. The primary battlefield for Satan and for spiritual warfare is your mind. If Satan can get into your mind, the rest is pretty simple. Where does all sin start? Right here. Starts in the mind. He tricks you into thinking what he wants is right, not what God's word says. But he says, the helmet of salvation. Your salvation is something that you will always have. The Bible says that in John chapter 10 and verse 28, he said that no one can pluck you out of Christ's hands. And he says, my Father is greater than I, and no one can pluck you out of my Father's hands. So you're double held. You're held by Christ. You're held by God the Father. Nobody, nothing can remove you from that. What's the first thing Satan wants to tell you? You're not saved. You wouldn't have thought that thought if you were saved. He wants to get into your mind. First thing he wants you to do is doubt your salvation. But if we put on the helmet of salvation, knowing that no one can touch us, that, not in the flesh, but in the spirit, that is important for protecting our mind. The last weapon is the only offensive weapon that Paul mentions here. It talks about, in verse 17, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Paul noted that there's only one offensive weapon. It's the soldier's sword, okay? And what does he say the sword is? It's the Word of God. For the Christian, the sword is the Word of God. You use the Word of God. What did Christ do when Satan came to him after he had fasted for 40 days? He tempted him in the desert. And what did Christ do? He rejected Satan through the Word of God. You know, make these stones bread. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So he used the word as an offensive weapon, and we need to do that. We're tempted to do something. Remember the old pins, WWJD, what would Jesus do? We need to think about that. What would Jesus do in this situation? What does his word say? And he says here, also backing that up with prayer in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying for all saints. Paul prayed that we would be strengthened in the inner man. What is the most important thing that we can pray for? What is the most important thing? You know, we pray, and I'm not saying this is wrong at all. We pray for people to get healed, you know, well, physically. I've had two major operations over the last 3 years, a new knee and a back surgery, and people prayed for me, and I really appreciate that. But please, pray for each other that God would guard your heart, that he would protect your mind, that he would strengthen you in your inner man, because that's where the battle is occurring. Your outer flesh, your flesh, you know what? Your spirit, if I die today, my spirit goes to be with Christ. My body gets put down in the ground. When Christ comes, he raises my body back up, but as soon as he raises it, what's he do? Instant, twinkling of an eye, changes it. Because it's no good. He's going to give me a new body. I need a new body to live forever with him. Okay? So, it's important to pray for one another, not just for physical needs, but more and more that you would have inner strength, that your spirit would be strengthened, that Christ would dwell in you, and that you would grow, and that you would mature. And you know what? I need that more today than I did back when I first was saved. We need to pray for new Christians, but believers, you know, you're in the battle for a long time. You've been in the battle for a long time. Please pray for inner strength, for spiritual strength for each other. And I'm going to just close in reading one more scripture. It's found in Colossians chapter 1. This was Paul's prayer. Just like he prayed for the Ephesians and their strengthening, their inner strength, he prayed for the Colossians. Beginning at verse 9, Colossians 1 says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you be filled with all knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us to the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption." How? Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's twice. You read it in Ephesians? I think you could look through all the epistles and find the same message. Paul prayed. You don't see him praying a lot for physical healing. You see him praying for inner spiritual strength. Because why? Because we're in an all-out war, and he knew it. Paul warred every day of his life. He had that inner turmoil fighting against Satan. We have that same thing today as believers. Pray for each other. Help each other. Encourage each other. Live for the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, I pray this morning for our church. Father, I pray for each and every believer sitting here that you would strengthen them in the inner man, that they would be prepared for the battle that they face each and every day of their lives. Father, help them not to be weary in well-doing, but to continue to fight the fight, to live for you. And Father, above all, help them to stand. Help them to be the one standing at the end of the battle. To stand before you and hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Help us, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.